Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon title for today is Jesus' High Priestly Prayer. The text is based on today's gospel reading, John chapter 17. So I just mentioned with the children, in the children's message, the whole chapter 17 of St. John is the prayer of Jesus. This prayer called Jesus' High Priestly Prayer. In his prayer, Jesus prayed for himself that he would not waver from the task of redeeming the world by giving his life on the cross. He prayed for his disciples that they would bring the good news of Jesus to the world, no matter how hard it would be. And then, in beginning verse 20, Jesus shifts his prayer to including others. He says, I do not ask for this only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Here Jesus is talking about you. For you are among those who have believed in Jesus through the apostles' word, the inspired witness of the apostles that we found in the New Testament, through the gospel that has been preached to you, through the sacraments the apostles were commissioned to pass on to church generation to generation. You and I have come to believe in, trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so you and I are included in this prayer of Jesus. Jesus really is a prayer for us. Now, what are the things that our Lord prayed for us? What is his will for us? The first things he asks for us is this, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. So on the night before he gave the final sacrifice of his death, our Lord Jesus Christ poured his heart out to God his Father in prayer. Of all of things Jesus could have asked for that night, what he wanted most was for unity to exist among those who believed in him. The question we should ask, was Jesus' prayer answered? Yes and no. Yes, the Holy Christian Church is united and always will be. This is to say, all who know that sin brings separation from God and spiritual death, and who by the Holy Spirit calling confess that they are poor, miserable sinners, and believe in their hearts that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid the price for their sin. And when he rose again 3 days later, he brought them new life. All who believe these things are believing Christians. We are all united by what Jesus given us in this faith and the forgiveness of our sins. We are united in that we share one hope, one faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, one holy Christian church, one baptism for the remission of sins, and one life without end, which we confess every week. By what God has done for us on the first Easter, we are one with all Christians wherever around the world, and even with those whose worship in heaven above. However, we have to acknowledge at the same time the people Jesus died for continue to answer no to Jesus' prayer for unity. So everyone knows that the Christian church on earth has divisions. There are Lutherans, Roman Catholics, Baptists, Presbyterians, Anglicans, Pentecostals. So the name, you can go on and on. Even with these groups, there are divisions, as there are among us, Lutherans. Why does this happen when Jesus prayed that we should all be one, and God regards all who receive Jesus as Savior as one flock? These divisions exist because of our disregard for the things of God. We do not cherish His sacred word, and so we allowed it to be compromised. Therefore, we are divided from one another. In the last hundred years, there has been an effort to bring the churches back together. It's called the ecumenical movement. The problem with it has been the way this is brought about. Rather than coming together in agreement on the Word of God, many have simply agreed to disagree. Put this way, this is like a marriage couple together who want to stay married and date other people. Of course, the relationship cannot survive. Churches merge and interweave communions, yet the divisions still remain within them. The fabric is easily torn apart. They also share the same will. This is not the kind of unity Jesus prayed for. Jesus prayed that we would be one just as He and the Father were one. Jesus shared a common essence with His Father. They also shared the same will. The Father loved His people and His Son. When He asked the Son to die for His people, the Son accepted the Father's will, even though it would bring about His death. The Father and the Son shared one will. They were truly united. Sadly, this is not the case between God and many of us today. God revealed His will for us in His Word, but many disregarded it. We have seen it with regard to the atonement when faith and good works are both considered the ground for salvation. we see disregard for God's word with the sacraments, where the Lord's Supper is offered to those who have not been instructed and are unprepared to meet Christ. We see it with regard to the commandments, where adultery is tolerated, murder of the unborn is taught as godly choice, and in many other things. Perhaps where we see it most evident today is a human sexuality. God created us male and female and gave us natural desire to each other to be realized in the covenant of holy marriage. Many Christians today have disregarded God's will here. What God called immoral, they called diverse. God declared in the second reading today, the Revelation, the sexual immoral as dogs outside the bounds of the church. When a Christian disregards the word of God, which is his means to give us life, we have a responsibility to that person. We need to warn them of the dangerous path they have headed down. We as church must also warn others not to follow that order. We should love them enough to point out error where it exists so our brothers and sisters can turn from it and not bring division to God's church, or at worst, to forsake the faith and lose their salvation. This loving concern should be shown within every Christian church when one of us is drifting from the faith or overcome by sin. Put this way, if one of your children were taking illegal drugs and about to ruin their health, their future, and possibly lose their life, I believe you would love them enough to warn and discipline them that they may turn back. So it would be with the family of God also. This loving action should also extend beyond the walls of the church. When whole groups of Christians are departing from the Word of God, either by allowing immoral practices to go on in their fellowship, or when they weigh down souls with requirements for salvation God has not made, we should not hold our tongues out of fear and allow them to further divide God's church. We need to warn them about the seriousness of the situation. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Regarding the unity of a church body, when we're dealing with individual Christians, we have to make some assumptions. If a person is a member of a church of a particular confession, we have to assume that they believe what their church teaches as public doctrine, or else they would not be part of that church. If you are a community member of this church, Trinity, we assume you have been instructed in the faith of this congregation and the synod and believe it yourself. or you would not unite yourselves with the rest of us. So if you are not clear what we believe or we want, what we believe or we confess in, at this church, so I want to, or you want to review what we confess. So I encourage you to join the new class beginning in 2 weeks, June the 16th at 9:30, the new instruction of Christianity class led by Pastor Harold. So we'll review all this. You will learn what our Lutheran Church believes, confess. Yes, there is to be no division among us. This is Jesus' prayer for us. When we are divided, we are called to repentance and reconciliation. Jesus' prayer for unity has been answered. God's church is one. All who confess the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins will be saved. But we are not to reduce the Word of God down to its least common denominator. We are to make disciples by baptizing and teaching men to observe all things Christ has commanded. Jesus pray for unity, call us to action. Let us pray that the Word of God will overcome our divisions, that we will not merely agree to disagree, but share that the true unity that the following Jesus brings. We should support the church of our confession. We should live a life that agrees with that, with what we confess at God's altar. And let us pray that the Holy Spirit will visit those who are drifting away, that they may be called back to truth. Today, God called us to unite with Him and with each other through His Word and the sacrament. In the sacramental fellowship meal, which we are about to receive, God unites Himself to each of us in a union of love. We will share in that divine fellowship and have tasted the sweetness of His love. The feast is ready. The holy body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine is ready for those who believe. Come. Jesus wants us to become one by uniting with Him. This is the will of our Lord. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.